The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
At this time of year, many are changing their car, some to get the new 261 registrations on a brand new car, and others will take advantage of the trade-ins delivered to the forecourts, which have sold those original new cars. So what's happening in 2026? I'm joined by Ger Herbert, motoring editor with the Sunday Independent. Ger, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Let's talk about Tesla first. It's lost its crown.
Yeah, it's no longer the world's biggest electric car maker. It's now been overtaken by BYD. And I suppose it's no great surprise. It hasn't been a great year for Tesla. It's unlikely to improve in 2026. The biggest problem, I suppose, they're facing is competition from China. They're also facing competition from all car makers at this stage. In America, which is their biggest market, obviously the subsidies are now gone, even though Elon Musk was very kind of bullish about the fact that it wouldn't impact on Tesla. It is going to impact on Tesla.
And you wonder when they, you know, he was running Doge and he was a pal of Trump's and all that, and still Trump would not extend EVs. And now we understand he's in the pocket of big oil. So this one thing he does not want is a proliferation of electric vehicles.
I know, it's completely ridiculous. But I always wondered how this marriage came about, Tesla or Trump and Musk. And was there not like huge issues there? But other people said, no, it's fine. He knows what he's doing. Well, it's not. It's clear he actually doesn't. They're obviously facing huge competition in China. They cannot produce cars cheaply enough to compete with the Chinese car makers. They also have essentially just two models. And also it's hard to quantify what is the Musk factor in all of this as well. So, you know,
I mean, in certain countries are not dismayed by his carry on. In Norway, Tesla are still doing well, I believe.
Yeah, but I think the thing with them is they're nearly at 100% electric at this stage, and you cannot go 100% electric and ignore Tesla. They're a huge player. Even in Ireland, they've lost market share, but they're still a very dominant player in the market. So I think Europe is, it's kind of mixed across. America's an issue, China's an issue, but the biggest issue, I think, is the fact that they only have really two cars.
Yeah, now when you look at the other competitors, I mean, in Europe, VW, for example, have a huge array of electric cars, and there's the Polo equivalent coming out very shortly. We're going to call it ID something, but I think they've reverted to Polo.
Yeah, so that's a car they're going to need. But I mean, they've done incredibly well in Ireland. They have led the sales. The ID4 was the best-selling electric car. The Tesla Model 3, though, was second. So, you know, Kia EV3 was another one. Again, that came from nowhere last year. It just shows how much people are likely to change brands. You don't get that brand loyalty with EVs.
Now, people will look at one of the headlines which you've offered me, which is, we're going automatic. Everyone's going automatic. There's a reason.
Yeah.
Hybrids are automatic. EVs are automatic. So
75%, more than 75% of cars sold last year. But that also shows, though, I mean, that doesn't still add. If you consider, I think 56% of the market was hybrid and electric. But that still shows that people are going for automatics, even in petrol cars, even in diesel options, even though diesel options are quite slim. And I think there is a general preference for automatics, which makes you wonder, is there any point in learning to drive these days in a manual car? And will you even be able to buy one in a few years' time? So,
yeah, and people who have learned in a hybrid or whatever. And I often wonder about the driving test. You know, when you have an automatic handbrake, do you still have to kind of put that on, even though it comes on automatically when you press your brake to the floor?
I wouldn't think so, to be honest. I think that was, you know, something that was tested years ago. Mm. Again, those, you know, I suppose the test has been updated in that sense. But yeah, I mean, big changes in that sense in what will filter into the secondhand market as well in the next few years.
Now, who are the best sellers in Ireland?
Toyota remained the best-selling brand. The Hyundai Tucson now was the best-selling car, but Toyota remained the best-selling brand. In terms of cars, the Tucson, Skoda Octavia and the Kia Sportage are still the key sellers there. And in terms of after Toyota came Volkswagen, Skoda, Hyundai and Kia. Not much change there in the last few years, to be honest.
Okay, now, for those who languish in the second-hand market and the banger market, shall we say, the results from the NCT would indicate that people are not looking after their cars as best they should.
Yeah, I think the issue is exactly that, Pat. We seem to have a really bad attitude to car maintenance. We see the NCT almost as this demon that you just have to, you know, you go along, you use it as a diagnostic test. It tells you what's the bare minimum you need to do with your car. You then take it to the mechanic and you then get it sorted out. Overall maintenance seems to be very, very low. If you look at the fact that over 50% of cars fail, but a lot of them then go on to pass, I think it's up to, depending on whether it's a visual inspection or actually something has to be done, it's anywhere between 90 and 99%, which proves these are things that could have actually been addressed before people came to the NCT. The other issue...
People use the NCT, though, as a diagnostic, don't they?
Yeah, and the issue with that, though, is it's a terrible waste of time with the NCT. If that's not what their job is. Their job is to just assess your car on the day, not to tell you what needs to be done.
What are the common faults?
Tyres seem to be a very big thing in terms of the actual failing dangers, and these are the ones we should really be concerned about. Again, tyres are a huge thing, and these are like these fail dangers have been increasing all the time, and these are issues that like you literally cannot leave the centre in the car. It's that dangerous. Either you're going to, you know, have a serious collision, or you're going to cause one, or whatever. They are found to have they constitute a direct or immediate risk to road safety, and the fact that they're increasing actually is quite a worry, really. In terms of, the thing about those as well is you're informed on the day you cannot leave, and there are penalty points and all sorts. But you do wonder how many people actually just remove that sticker. That's the worry, and then just drive off.
Now the stats on road deaths. I mean, we had a flurry of road deaths coming up to the end of the year, and we kind of suspected it would be worse than last year.
Yeah, it's particularly bad, though. I mean, it's the highest it has been in a decade, and there's some really worrying statistics. Like, cyclist deaths were the highest since 2017, and motorcyclist fatalities reached their highest since 2007. So vulnerable road users definitely the numbers are rising considerably there. Their fatalities overall are up 8%, and 190 people have died. Now, those figures, I think, are provisional because the RSA released 185. The guards are saying 190. And the other way, that can change. But, I mean, it's still a significant number. So it's really, really not good now at all.
And we're going to see e-scooters more and more, one suspects, in these figures in the years to come, such as the proliferation of these vehicles.
Yeah, though I heard Minister Kenny being interviewed about that yesterday, and he was pressed about whether there was a need for new regulation, and he seemed to think education was the issue. I mean, I think one of the biggest issues there, Pat, and we've talked about it before, is they were so late in bringing the regulations in the first place that habits had formed. I think there's people out there who don't even realise that they shouldn't be allowed for under 16-year-olds, as parents still buying them. I'm sure they did at Christmas. And there's huge issues around it. It's not simply just an education issue.
Some of these e-bikes are more like motorbikes. They really are. They don't require pedal power to keep going.
Yeah, but again, they're classified, higher ones are classified as e-mopeds in terms of the law. So therefore, they require everything that a moped and a motorcycle require. Again, though, it comes down to enforcement. We do know that there were figures that came out last year that said something like 90% of the e-scooters on the roads at the moment don't comply with the regulations in terms of what's legally defined as an e-scooter. So that doesn't, you know, bode particularly well and what
now,
is on it.
The number of crashes has increased on the M50, which is maxed out. So therefore, you wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, there's no surprise there. The busiest and most incident-prone motorway. Yeah, crashes are up. A few interesting things on this. Basically, the evening rush hour crashes outnumber the morning ones, which is kind of an interesting one. Again, it's lane changing that seems to be the big issue. And is that just pure frustration? Again, it's interesting that it's evening. People are less tolerant at that hour of the evening. They just want to get home. We know that it's practically a car park the whole time.
And they're using their phones because they're going so slowly. They figure, I might as well look at something.
Nobody
on my
will
phone.
Notice. Yeah. The other thing is the variable speed limits don't seem to be having an impact. TII say they do, but it doesn't seem to be that they're actually taken into any consideration on the road. I mean, if you've been on it when they put up those, you know, those 80 kilometre speed limits, nobody seems to abide by them at all, and there doesn't seem to be any enforcement. They technically should make a difference, but I'm not sure that they are.
Some of the comments coming in, the NCT failure rate is all about money, not car maintenance. People can't afford to maintain their cars.
Well, that is an issue, yeah. I mean, they're turning up, and that's why they're using it as a diagnostic tool.
Now, people who say EVs are expensive, and there are some really very affordable EVs. This one, the Opel Frontera. Remember that? Mm. We had one of those at one stage. It's back with an EV. The entry model has a range of 300 kilometres and the cost under 27k.
Yeah, and they actually have a 7-seat version of that as well. I think it's only a hybrid version, but a really well-priced car.
I had my car fail the NCT for a major fail. They said they couldn't locate the VIN, the vehicle identification number, on the chassis. How could that be a fail?
That seems ridiculous because it's in
they
a
should
few
know where it
places.
Is. It's etched in the windscreen glass.
Yeah.
However, if you've had to replace the glass, it might not be there. But it's got to be somewhere.
It should be on the sill of the door. And there should be other places that it's on. I don't know. That seems really odd.
Anyway, it's going to be an interesting year. More Chinese coming, one suspects, into the Irish market.
Yeah, a lot more EVs, a lot more competitively priced EVs. But it'll be an interesting year as well. We'll see what the impact, you know, of the EU 2035 ban being slightly watered down to 90% as opposed to 100%.
So will petrol and diesel make some sort of a comeback?
Yeah, will it make car makers think, oh, we've a tiny bit longer? Will it make the people who might have bought EV think, ah, sure, I have another, there's another petrol left in me or another diesel? So it, we'll see what the impact of that will be. It could be just purely psychological, but it might, may have an impact all the same.
I think we may have to have a look at all the innovations in batteries as well at some point on the programme, because every Tom, Dick and Harry is making a new battery, solid state battery,
Lots happening there.
All right, Ger Herbert, thank you very much for joining us. Ger is motoring editor with the Sunday Independent.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.